Father, we pray that we may be open to hear your word and understand your call and comfort for our lives. For this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we could say Happy Christmas if we lived in Russia, Serbia, Macedonia, Montenegro, or Georgia. But no longer in Ukraine, because this year they decided to follow the Western dates. Because those other countries all use the older Julian calendar to determine when to celebrate Christmas, which is on January the 7th, 13 days after the Gregorian calendar. The Eastern Church celebrates Epiphany on January the 19th. Epiphany, which is that manifestation, that sudden revelation and realization, the day on which Christ's revelation to the Gentiles is celebrated, the time when the world realizes that God has sent his Son as Savior to the world. In this country, Epiphany is the day marking 12 days after Christmas, and the time when traditionally we take down our Christmas tree and decorations. Other popular Epiphany customs include chalking the doors of our homes, as the early Methodists did, marking them with Christian symbols as a blessing for our homes in the coming year. Consuming Three Kings cake, made of puff pastry, ground almonds, sugar, eggs, butter, and white rum. Very nice. Winter swimming? I think not. As well as attending church services. The next day, tomorrow, is Plough Monday, marking the end of the Christmas season and in past centuries marking the beginning of the agricultural year. Epiphany was also known as Plough Sunday, when the ploughs were blessed in church for the beginning of the agricultural year. As agricultural work was scarce in the winter, the labourers tended to disguise themselves by blacking their faces with soot to get money by dragging decorated ploughs around the larger houses in the villages. As they dragged the plough, they would shout out, "Penny for the ploughboys." It's a bit like penny for the guy, isn't it? So we look on Epiphany as a time to bless our homes and our work, agricultural or other, for the new year. Many countries refer to Epiphany as Three Kings Day. And on this day, Western Christianity celebrates Christ being revealed to the Gentiles, who are represented by the visit of the Magi to the child Jesus. This emphasizes God's gift of good news, which is for everyone. Now, Eastern Christianity observes Jesus' baptism at Epiphany. His baptism, which revealed the identity of Jesus to all humanity in God's word at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Epiphany therefore celebrates God revealing himself to the whole world in both the Eastern and the Western traditions. Epiphany was established by the early church in the 3rd century. Now, this was over a century before they ever celebrated Christmas. It's a day that celebrates and recognizes Christ's birth, baptism, the adoration of the Magi, and also the revelation of Jesus and what Jesus was going to come to do by celebrating the first miracle of the turning of water into wine at the wedding at Cana. So Jesus brings transformation to the whole world. Now, while the church year begins at Advent, the key event, as far as the early church was concerned, in Jesus' life and work is represented by Epiphany, the revelation of God's love and purpose to us all. We know, of course, that the wise men followed a star Now, stars were studied throughout the ancient world. In Egypt, for example, the rise of Sirius in August signaled the Nile flood, which of course brought fertility and life to the land. And of course, in Western countries, particularly we think in our own country, that summer and winter solstices are recognized and seen as symbols of new life. Hence the ceremonies at Stonehenge, or if you were in Ireland, at New Grange in the Boyne Valley, where the winter sunrise touches the central stone or the grave of a great king. And of course, in the ancient world, the Greeks and Romans and Persians believed that such astronomical phenomena connected to events on Earth. So our Gentile astronomers, the Magi, see a new star in the sky, and they associate it with a significant event, the birth of someone who would be significant. And they set off towards the point on Earth where the star rises and shines. Now, the Star of Bethlehem was already traditionally linked with a messianic prophecy in the book of Numbers. This is what Numbers 24, verse 17 reads. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter meaning the royal scepter, the kingship, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy the sons of tumult. This passage was widely seen as a reference to the coming of a Messiah. It was, for example, cited by Josephus, the Jewish philosopher, who believed it referred to the Emperor Vespasian. Origen, on the other hand, one of the most influential of the early Christian theologians, connected this prophecy with the Star of Bethlehem in the book of Numbers, as we've just read. And with respect to the appearance of a star at the birth of Jesus, this is what Origen says. There is a prophecy of Balaam recorded by Moses to this effect. There shall arise a star out of Jacob, and a man shall rise up out of Israel. Origen suggested that the Magi may have decided to travel to Jerusalem when they concluded that a man whose arrival was foretold, along with that of a star, actually had come into the world. And this was the birth of God's Messiah. And so we move to our passage in Matthew, which records the wise men and their gifts. Now, of course, in modern times of equality and making sure everybody is valued, it's suggested that three wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, brought practical gifts, cleaned the stable, and made a casserole. And there would have been peace on earth. But of course, Matthew wants us to understand the theological revelation, God's truth. So how many wise men were there? Three, we answer. Well, actually, we don't know how many were in that party of stargazers who brought gifts. We just know there were three gifts, or at least three types of gift. There was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These three gifts carry a theological meaning. Gold for kingship, frankincense for priesthood, and myrrh, which was used for ceremonial anointing. As was customary for royal visits, the wise men came bearing treasured gifts, intending to honor the newborn king. By bringing gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, the wise men showed that they did indeed consider Jesus a king, as seen in the Old Testament use of these materials. Gold, for example, particularly associated with royalty and nobility, as when the Queen of Sheba brought massive amounts of gold when she visited King Solomon. Frankincense is an aromatic resin produced by scraping the bark of certain native species of trees. And when burned, the incense, it creates strong and beautiful aromas. In the ancient Near East, the cost of frankincense precluded it from being used as a common household perfume. Rather, bringing frankincense was closely associated with the worship of a god. And in this way, the inclusion of frankincense as a gift for Jesus may have indicated that the wise men understood that the prophecy of a newborn king carried with it the claim of deity. As with gold, frankincense may also have implied a connection with temple worship in the Old Covenant, burning incense at the altar, a key part of the sacrificial system of the tabernacle and later the temple. And then myrrh is another fragrant spice derived from the sap of a native tree in the Near East. And like frankincense, it's used as incense. But in the ancient world, it also had a wider use as a perfume, as an anointing oil, and was even imbibed as a medicinal tonic. Most notable with regard to Jesus' life, of course, myrrh is a key ingredient in the mixture of spices that the women brought to prepare his body for burial. And the myrrh in Jesus' burial has always been suggested as to indicate suffering. But in the temple connection, myrrh was the main ingredient in anointing, ceremonially to prepare priests by anointing them, anointing the instruments of worship, anointing the altar and the temple itself before any sacrifice could be made. And so we can conclude that Matthew points to the prophetic signs of these gifts, together pointing to Jesus as a king, a priest, and even as a sacrifice. So here in the Christmas story of the visit of the wise men, we see key aspects of Jesus' life and ministry: prophet, priest, and king, and sacrifice. And throughout this story of good news, there is light and there is hope. In our Old Testament reading, Isaiah points to the dawn of a new age, of the Messiah, one in which the light and radiance of God would rise over Jerusalem, darkness giving way to light, which draws all the nations to God. And although focused on Jerusalem, the vision is worldwide in its scope. It begins with thick darkness covering the earth, as there was in the book of Genesis at the beginning of creation. Before creation, there was thick darkness. But in the prophecy, we have spiritual darkness and moral and spiritual blindness, which God's light breaks into and dissipates. But the good news is that God's presence is with his people. The kingdom of God has come down to earth, and we have a new creation, light and hope for all. This is the final triumph of God, and all nations and kings will acknowledge God as Lord. They will be drawn willingly to God, and they will see the citizenship of God's kingdom, not limited to Jews, but open to all people of all nations. This is the light and the hope of the world. It is, as Matthew tells us, the Gentile Magi come to seek the one born King of the Jews and to worship him. They are drawn by the light of a star, the light that dawned afresh in Jesus has spread to all the world, and many are being drawn to this light and truth. This is the prophetic hope that Isaiah presents us with. This, then, is Epiphany, a sudden revelation, a sudden manifestation and realization, a new creation, a new beginning, open to the world. And it's ours to celebrate. That's why Epiphany is important. It's a new beginning, a new creation, open to the world. And it's ours to know, to celebrate, to experience, and to share. We share God's light and hope for the world. This is gospel. This is good news. Thanks be to God.